Hey guys, just a quick intro before the intro, before the show starts proper. This is, of course, another Resident Evil side series episode here. And these episodes are now exclusive to Patreon. Well, sort of. So this episode actually released back in July on the Patreon. And when I started setting things up for that other feed, I made the decision that all of the side series stuff is going to move to that feed exclusively. But I figured since the series was so popular, I gained so many new listeners from the Resident Evil series on its own, that I figured if I keep putting episodes out for the series, I should just kind of grandfather it over to the main feed. It just didn't feel right to all of a sudden lock it away behind a paywall. But with that said, though I do plan on releasing these episodes on the main feed, they're going to be exclusive to Patreon for several months beforehand. So if you want to go to patreon.com/themainquest, you'll be able to hear any new Resident Evil episodes drop way ahead of time before they come out here on the main feed. And in fact, if you are a Resident Evil head, I have a full-length episode on the entirety of the Resident Evil Zero game, which is a complete different episode from the story and lore episode I did 2 years ago. It's with my friend Belt Buckle Bill, and we kind of dive in deep on, again, a little things on the story, but also the gameplay, which is something I don't typically talk about in these episodes. And lastly, I have to shout out the patrons that make these kind of episodes possible. And those people are David Palafox, Kayla Jackson, Eric Guess, Zero Sam, Ashton, Van Fernal, and Chris Copeland. Again, if you want access to all of this stuff, you can visit patreon.com/themainquest, or just hit that link in the show notes. With that said, I won't take up any more time. Enjoy this brand new episode on Resident Evil 4. Welcome back to another episode of the Resident Evil series here on the Main Quest podcast, Patreon. Thank you, patrons, for being the awesome motherfuckers you are. I love you. It's hard to be serious. That kind of intro, I was like, man, I gotta feel spooky again. I gotta feel evil. I gotta feel Resident Evil. It's been a long time. It's been a long time since I've revisited this series. At least it feels that way. I recorded that Resident Evil Zero episode back in April. And I think, well, no, I guess the last formal series episode came out in December of 2022, which in itself would have been recorded like in October or November. But we're here now, a brand new canon entry came out this past April, Resident Evil 4, which replaces Resident Evil 4. That's correct. Resident Evil 4 is replacing Resident Evil 4, which I did have an episode out on Resident Evil 4, where I mostly yelled a lot. I was confused, a little bit disgusted. Also had a huge revelation during that episode that entire game was just a bad knockoff of another famous video game franchise. But that game is no longer canon, right? That episode doesn't really count anymore. But you can, and you should, go back, listen to that episode, and then come back here, because today I'm going to go through the game again, since it has been remade, and it has officially replaced the original according to Capcom canon guidelines. But this time I will not be going through the story beat by beat like I did on the previous episode, because honestly, it's mostly the same. End of episode, I guess. No, stick around, because instead of just going over the story again, I'm just going to be going over minor changes and talking about how this may or may not affect the rest of the canon games that I went through in this very series. And if I have enough time, maybe give some of my thoughts on the game in general. So do I need to go out of my way here for you guys to let you know that there's going to be spoilers in this episode? If you've been with this series since the beginning, I'm going to assume that you know that everything is on the table here. I'm trusting you guys. You guys know more than anybody, because you are patrons, after all. You know what's going to happen. So let's begin the episode. Let's talk about
Resident Evil 4.
When Resident Evil 2 was announced at E3 2015, people were excited. Damn excited. Capcom provided a flawless presentation of the game, and from there, the marketing for the game was nonstop. But as the hype was drip-fed to us, the community, as they tend to do, they wanted more. It's never enough. It's not enough to remake... to have a remake of Resident Evil 2. We want a remake of Resident Evil 3. Give us Code Veronica. And you know what? Hey, while we're at it, Resident Evil 4. Wait, no. Nah. I don't know. Not Resident Evil 4. Maybe Resident Evil 4. Who knows? Even Division 1 at Capcom, they weren't too sure they wanted to touch Resident Evil 4. It's frequently brought up in the top 10 list amongst some of the best games ever made. The game has received hundreds of awards and accolades, and even without that, it has changed the landscape of video games permanently. It was not lost on Capcom that if they were going to remake the game, it would have to be painfully close to what came out in 2005. But first things first, they gotta release Resident Evil 7, they have to finish Resident Evil 2, and begin development of 3, all the while replaying Resident Evil 4. Are they video game developers or video game podcasters? Because that's a lot of shit. Yasuhiro Ampo and Kazunori Kadoi headed up development under Yoshihaki Hirabayashi, and development for the game started shortly after the release of Resident Evil 2. In 2019. Not a ton of info about the development for this game is out there right now. At the time of this recording, the game is only 3 months old, but when you take into consideration how concerned Division 1 was with how popular the original game is, they more or less took a more cautious approach to remaking this than perhaps they did with 2 and 3. Resident Evil 4 is still an incredible game. It's a game that has aged very well in an era where others haven't come out of the other end as finely formed as that game has. In my previous episodes, I think I've even stated that besides the incredibly poor story, I mean, that story fucking sucks. I didn't really think the game needed to be remade, which is a sentiment I think the majority of people also share with me, with some of them reluctantly agreeing on the basis that they would otherwise be crucified by the community. So the question is, did Resident Evil 4 need to be remade? No. Well, yes. But also, no. They certainly did have to tighten up the story, and they did. And shifted the entire atmosphere to closely fit the horror of Resident Evil 2 and 3. And instead of fixing the gaping plot hole of Saddler aimlessly chasing Leon and Ashley down, they just cut out his plot entirely. So now Saddler is just a plain-ass boring villain who just wants to spread the plagas. And that's it. So he's still kind of just a very generic villain. And I'm going to put a pin in that, actually. We'll come back to that. I might be getting ahead of myself here. So the way I want to do this episode is, again, not a beat-by-beat lore and story breakdown, because that episode already exists. The story is mostly unchanged, and there's a bit of connective tissue to Resident Evil 5 here, which I'll get to, because let's just get into the changes from the original. The game opens similarly to the first, with a brief backstory on what Leon's been up to since Resident Evil 2, and why he has become a super secret government agent. It's a very short intro in the beginning of the game, and they don't really explore it much further, just as in the original, but it does do a little to connect the two games. I appreciate this change, but I don't know. I feel like it's not completely necessary in the long run, because if you're smart enough, you could probably just fill in the blanks by yourself. But it does help add some organic growth to Leon's character, so I'm fine with it. And so the next point I have here just actually speaks to the gameplay in general, but the Los Illuminados are much more violent than they were in the last game. They're way more aggro, including the game's actual difficulty overall is much harder. The redesign of the enemies is subtle. Overall, the graphical quality of the game is phenomenal. That should go without saying. Capcom has cracked the RE engine wide open and is just being completely disrespectful to our fucking ocular cavities. But the biggest change with the enemies in general is that the game really goes out of its way to humanize all of the people and monsters that we're killing in the game. The original doesn't really do that. And Resident Evil 5 doesn't do it at all. It's something I always found incredibly interesting with the first three games. The way the backstory is, the way they set up all of the scientists and the people that worked for Umbrella that have now become victims. So they're not just mindless zombies walking around the world, right? And even more so with some of the remakes, right? I think the remakes do a good job for the most part, because as the game gets more outrageous, you tend to lose that context when Saddler turns into a fucking giant mutated scorpion thing, and you wonder how there's giant ogres all over the place. Yeah, all right. In here, it makes sense. These were people. And the Plagas has done horrible fucking things to them. And so I'm going to pull the pin on Saddler here, since I just mentioned him again. Let's touch on the cast here as far as the villains go. Well, the main two villains, I should say. So the connection between Salazar and Saddler are a little more fleshed out. There are several documents talking about the history between the Salazar family and how they were in direct opposition to Saddler for most of their family lineage until Saddler brainwashed Ramon. So it's cool that we not only get more of a bond between these two, but understand how Ramon actually obtained so much power in that region of Spain. Now, as for Saddler, Saddler's barely in the game. He doesn't really show up until like the last chapter of the game. And when you think about the original, all of the codec calls here in the remake are kept to a minimum. There's maybe like 6 or 7 and they're all done in game instead of cutting away from the action, which is kind of appreciated, but you're still not doing a lot in game. And Leon is only ever talking to Hunnigan. He's never talking or interacting with any of the villains. So this makes Salazar and Sadler appear a little more villainous, a little more mysterious, but also completely neuters all the charm the original game had, which is kind of a sticking point with me, even though I don't really like the original Resident Evil 4 for those exact same reasons. Now we've got Luis. Luis is a character in this game. Aside from the opening cutscene that was basically like, last time on Resident Evil 2, Luis becomes the missing link that ties the other games to Resident Evil 4. The only connection to the rest of the franchise in the original was a one-off, incredibly random, miss it if you're not paying attention line that Wesker was still around, he's still alive, doing stuff, somehow. Again, that's never explained. So, Luis worked as a researcher for the European branch of Umbrella and was in charge of the development of Las Plagas as a bioweapon. He shows up way more in this game, which is a better trade-off for keeping Salazar and Sadler in the background, while the plot can focus a little bit more on Luis desperately trying to atone for the work that he did during his time at Umbrella. And moving on to our, I guess, favorite villain of the game, Krauser. Krauser is still here, sort of. Not much has changed with him. The backstory for Krauser with him and Leon working together in the past is that they show that here. And then you can even find documents scattered around the island that kind of fleshes out their backstory a little bit more. But what you also have to keep in mind with the documents is that you can completely miss them through your playthroughs. So, I mean, it's more or less the same. Krauser's pretty much unchanged. He is who he is from the original. I still don't like him. He's still a Metal Gear Solid character. And at least in the original, his dialogue is so bad it's entertaining. But in 2023, he's just kind of flat, just really dull, which I feel like I've said that a lot already in this episode. Let me get through the rest of these characters and I'm going to talk about the rest of the game. I mentioned Wesker earlier, and they cut any dialogue about him here in the remake. In the original, Leon, Ada, Krauser, and the fucking villagers all talk about Wesker as if him surviving the events of Resident Evil was just, it's common knowledge that he's alive. Doesn't matter that whatever happened off screen happened, nobody's talking about it. He's alive. And so the fact that there's no reaction, shock, or mystery to how he survived the events of Resident Evil is one of the largest oversights in the original series. And in the sequels, this never gets resolved. Even in Resident Evil 5, when he makes his big comeback. So what the remake does is keep his reveal to a stinger scene at the end of the game, which I think works a lot better because it does set up that he is alive. It is a huge reveal, right? and teases what's to come in Resident Evil 5. Only thing is, in Resident Evil 5, again, he doesn't mention the events of Resident Evil. We don't know what happened to him after that. It's just that he is alive. So though I enjoy the fact that they kept the reveal at the end of 4, it's meaningless because it never gets explained in 5. And so this stinger is essentially all we have to tie 4 to 5, because it is essentially telling us that Ada has been working with Wesker the entire time, and of course, sets us up with what goes down in Africa. Speaking of Ada, like Krauser, her character and involvement really hasn't changed in the story. Right down to the subdued reaction to Leon running into her after last seeing her fall to her death from like a 30-story plummet.
You can stop right there, Leon.
Well, after 6 years, that is one hell of a greeting, Ada.
You don't seem surprised.
So who are you working for this time?
Oh, Leon. You know I don't work in town.
And again, this might be the most disappointing aspect of both the original and the remake, because they really toy with the sexual tension between these two characters when they were together in Resident Evil 2. So you would think, again, Leon would be shocked to find somebody that he's really into, who double-crossed him, who he thought was dead, is still actually alive. Because before she falls to her death in Resident Evil 2, Leon and Ada have this very intense argument. And that's when Leon realizes that she's lied to him and has been using him. And when they happen to run into each other, after all these years, in both of these games, in the original and this remake, there's no emotion coming from either character. Not even a dropped line about, like, you're alive. What are you doing here? Or anything. Like, nothing. There's no unresolved, unfinished business or whatever the fuck. Like, nobody cares. Since I said no emotion, one of the most contentious things I've seen online is the voice acting for Ada in this game. Now, I'm not familiar with Lily Gao's body of work, so I'm not going to outright say that she is a bad voice actor, but her line delivery in this game is pretty bad.
The deal was, we get you out of here when you deliver the Amber. No Amber, no protection, Luis. Maybe you'll live to meet me again. And then I might get you that greeting you were looking for.
You think I'm gonna give up that easy?
How about we continue this discussion another time?
The world changed. You try to save one person, 100 others die. I guess I changed too.
You? Leon S. Kennedy. You haven't changed. You just think you have.
I am expediting that change.
So, we're talking millions of casualties.
Billions.
How ambitious.
And you know, this could be a number of reasons. Maybe she had poor direction. Perhaps Capcom didn't have enough time to get more takes from her. Maybe she didn't record with the other actors. Either way, though, when you have all of these actors nailing their performances, Gal's performance sticks out like a sore thumb. It really does. And I'm not criticizing her just for the sake of criticizing her. I wish it was good. Maybe there was, like I said, something going on, but it's very poor. It's not bad. But it's just lifeless, incredibly lifeless. And what I found out is that she actually played Ada in the last movie, Welcome to Raccoon City, for like the 10 seconds that she's in that fucking disaster. Oh, Ada! If you don't know that one, you gotta listen to the main quest matinee episode on Resident Evil. Yeah, man. A voice actor, she is not. And so now, of course, we got to talk about our two main characters here. And I'm going to start with Ashley first. What a fucking 180 degree turn Ashley's character is. In the original, she's nothing more than the damsel in distress trope, taken to such an obvious degree that it's incredibly disgusting. She's absolutely worthless, and her dialogue, you know what? You know what it is. You know what that dialogue is. It's on par, I guess, with all the other lines in the original, but, well, you know what you're about to get here.
Leon! 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 The door's locked. I can't open it. Don't just stand there. Help me.
Look, there's a crank over there. Look, there's a gate here.
What is that thing? Hey, what are you looking at? Where are you going, Leon? Leon, go! No! Help me, Leon! Help me, Leon! 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 Help!
The dynamic between her and Leon in the remake is great. And even though she is still the save the princess trope, she has more development as a character. And the writing reflects that as she and Leon continue to find the antidote for Las Plagas. One of the minor changes in the game is they axed the scene where Sadler takes over Leon and attacks Ada, and they replaced that with Ashley attacking Leon. And when she does snap out of it, the look in her eyes, the emotion on her face, she is terrified of being around Leon. Not because Leon has failed to help her, but it's because she knows that she can't control what she does and is afraid that she might kill him, which does come to a head much later in the game. And this shows growth in Leon as well, as he's not only out to protect her because it's his job and he might get laid later, but because he also actually starts to genuinely care for her, which is reflected in the more realistic dialogue and characters that this game has set out to make. The game gives both of these characters a lot more downtime together, and it's these brief moments of interaction that make Ashley a much more believable character and gives Leon more motive than just making sure another Raccoon City doesn't happen, but in Spain this time.
I'm so scared. When that happened, I wasn't myself anymore. I was something else.
She must have been terrifying. I know. It's okay to be afraid, you know. But you can't run. We will beat this. Together. Just give me a heads up before you stab me next time, okay?
Leon. Thanks.
You did this.
Yeah. Yeah, I did this. Can you stand?
The map?
Yeah, I found it. I think it says we can get out if we go this way. Hey, we're a team, right?
Keep this up. I'll be out of a job.
Because of how events unfold and the relationship she builds with Leon, she's just more confident and overall better character than what she used to be in the original game. And of course, that's in part thanks to Leon, which I am on the fence about with changes made to this character. On one hand, you have the obnoxious edgelord mouth breather that was in the original game. His dialogue was so over the top and out of line compared to what we got in Resident Evil 2. And on the other hand, we have a more calm, experienced, and confident Leon that is a natural progression of what we had in Resident Evil 2 in this game. All I asked for coming into this was that this new version of Leon was free of Shinji Mikami's misogynist script, and that's what I got. But something just doesn't seem right about this version to me. The remakes are a down-to-earth, more realistic approach to the story and lore, And this Leon is, again, complimentary to those changes. But when Leon does say something that's like a little out of line in here, it sticks out like a sore thumb. Now, none of the lines in here are as cheesy as any one line in the original game.
Leon, it's been 6 hours since our last transmission. I was starting to get worried.
Don't you mean lonely?
Let me come with you.
No, you stay here with Leon. He is better with the ladies.
I have been honored with the prodigious power from the great Lord Saddler. I've been expecting you, my brethren.
No thanks, bro.
We've jacked the line. I let our miserable insects out for some exercise down in the sewer.
Thanks. That should keep me company, because boredom kills me.
So maybe you have 9 lives, but it doesn't matter now, Mr. Kennedy. I've sent my right hand to dispose of you.
Your right hand comes off?
Disillusioned with overconfidence, just because you killed my small-time subordinate.
Saddler, you're small-time. Looks like this is it.
Ugh, it stinks.
Sure does.
No way, Leon.
Way?
Are you out of your mind?
I knew you'd be fine if you landed on your butt.
But some of these lines are reprisals, and they feel like they were kept in here more for fan service and for people to just drop their controllers and start clapping, rather than serve Leon as an actual character. If the plan was to go with a more reserved Leon Kennedy, make him more cynical rather than vaguely sarcastic. I don't believe this version of Leon would ever drop the bingo line, especially at this point of his arc. But here we are. He does it anyway. Overall, I think the changes made to Leon are organic. And it definitely helps that my guy, Nick Apostolidis.
Yo, Keith from Main Quest Podcast. Nick Apostolidis here.
Reprised his role from Resident Evil 2. So there's some familiarity in the performance, which I guess was too much to ask for from Ada's Jolene Anderson. And that's pretty much it. That's all of the changes to the story and the lore of the game. There just simply isn't a lot. It's just very small, minor changes that were made. And it's just to hold up continuity, essentially. But at this point, wow, it's not bad. I'm only a half hour in. So since I've got some time, I'm going to do something in this series that I normally don't talk about. And that's the actual game. I started this episode by saying that the game didn't need to be remade. And I mostly believe that. There are some minor quality of life improvements in the remake, but it doesn't feel like a crucial improvement over the original. Not like the original RE2 and RE3 to their remakes were. Shit, I mean, even look at 96, the original 96 game to the 2002 remakes. I mean, when you look at those two games specifically, it is stunning how far technology and game design developed just in 6 years. And now, there are people clamoring for another Resident Evil remake in the RE engine, which I think I would kind of like to see too. And though I do think that Resident Evil 4 has a very, very slight edge over the original. You know, the further we get into this franchise, the more we start remaking these games, the more superfluous it becomes. I don't think we need a Resident Evil 5 remake yet. I just don't think it's necessary now that we've seen a moderately modern masterpiece remade. I don't think we need it. It's going to happen, right? It's going to happen anyway, because of course it will. But I would honestly rather see another remake of the original, or just Resident Evil 9, which is coming, right? There's going to be a Resident Evil 9. Or maybe, how about we just take a break from the remakes altogether, right? Let's give Resident Evil 5 more time to breathe. Let's give it a little more time to age. I'd rather Capcom focus all their time and attention on whatever Resident Evil 9 is going to be. You know, I said as much in my ranking episode, but I think Resident Evil 8 suffered a little bit because of how many projects were in production at the same time. Now, Resident Evil 8, it's a great game, but like I said, I still feel like that was a demo. I feel like it was a proof of concept for what Division 1 did with Resident Evil 4 here. And I don't want to make it sound like I'm kind of shitting on Resident Evil 4, the remake. There's certainly a ton of love and care put into this. It shows. Not only the incredible polish that all of these remakes have, but also in the subtle callbacks to the source material. It's just hard not to play this game, and the whole time just in the back of my mind thinking how foundational the original was and its impact on the industry that is only rivaled by other games like Super Mario Brothers or Final Fantasy VII, Ocarina of Time, or even a game in its own franchise, the original 1996 Resident Evil. The original Resident Evil 4's legacy not only casts a huge dark shadow over this remake, but it's a game that also plays incredibly well in 2023. You know, I think, like, tank controls. The fact that Leon plants his feet in the original, it's divisive, right? But the original game is developed and designed around that feature and makes it feel a little more arcadey. Or what I like to say, I like to say it makes it feel like a video game. And I like the way that Capcom kind of twisted that mechanic in the remake, because though you can move around and shoot in this, Leon's aiming is way more precise if he's just standing still. But that video gamey feel is lost in this game, save for the target practice minigame and the monotonous collectathon side quests. But for the most part, I mean, this is the same game, nearly beat for beat. There aren't many sweeping changes, and again, I think the original game holds up exceptionally well, which is why I still do not think that this was an essential game to remake. But it also doesn't feel like a blatant, obvious cash grab like The Last of Us remake was. The original Resident Evil 4 needed a bit of polish. And that's what it got. That's what this is. My girlfriend, Kayla, she was watching me play through most of the game. And near the end, she asked me, she was like, "Do you like this?" And I kind of just said, "No." You know, I said, "It's fine. I said, it's a good video game, but I don't like it." Which is to say, I don't like the original game either. This is pretty much when Resident Evil jumped the shark for me. And I think I dislike the remake a little more for the fact that it does try to be a little more grounded than the original. When a game as influential as Resident Evil 4 is remade, fans draw a line in the sand, either coming to the defense of the original or the new game, as if the game or the people that made it actually gave any shits about them anyway. And in some way, I feel a little vindicated, because I don't have nostalgia for the original game, and I don't really care about the new one, but I am a fan of the franchise as a whole. And though I hate almost everything about the original as far as that story and the characters go, at least that game has an identity. And I can respect how fucking dumb everything is in that game. And the remake stands in stark contrast to that by just sucking the soul out of what was an incredibly over-the-top and bombastic video game. I feel like the original is far more memorable for all the dumb crap in it, whereas despite all the callbacks in here and it mostly being a faithful modern representation of what came before it, it just feels hollow. And I'm not saying the remake is bad. Again, it's a fucking miracle that it is on par with the original, and in my opinion, surpasses it a little bit in some aspects. Again, just very, very slightly. But it sacrificed a ton of the charm and the personality that the original game had. And in a franchise where many fans are divided when it comes to each entry and the remakes, this is one where I think, again, a lot of people are just going to draw a line in the sand. The original is better. The remake is better. And again, as someone who isn't a fan of either game, I would rather play the original. For a lot of the reasons, I do think that's the superior version, but like everything in the gaming world, it will always come down to personal preference. And so you might think Resident Evil 4 2023 is perfect. It is the perfect video game. And I will just tell you that it is only that good simply because it is a carbon copy of what came 18 years ago. But I will say this, the original does not have my man Nick Apostolidis though, so.
Yo, Keith from Main Quest Podcast. Nick Apostolidis here.
Now I'm not so confident in my decisions here. So that's going to do it for this new entry in the series. Who knows when the next one is coming out? It might be 2 years from now, might be 4 years from now. Of course, there are rumors of Resident Evil 5 floating around, and you know damn well they've started development on Resident Evil 9 and whatever that's going to be. But there's still no official word from Capcom on that. So all that's left to do is thank you guys. Thank you so much for being a patron. You guys voted on this episode. You wanted me to do this, and I'm glad I could do it for you. I actually had a lot of this stuff kind of stored away in my brain, just kind of waiting to spew out. So I might have done this eventually, just not as soon as I would have otherwise. So thank you guys. Thank you for being the fucking awesome people that you are. And I will catch you guys later on the Resident Evil series.